Replay, reflect, believe. More of God's Word for walking in faith every day of the week.
We pray that you are inspired to read the scripture further and to continue attending your local church. When in Philadelphia, you're welcome to join us for worship at Open Door Baptist Church, 1632 North 26th Street, zip code 19121, Sundays at 11 a.m. Now it's time to enjoy today's message.
So we're gonna get right into it. Come on, let us pray. Our Father and our Creator, we bless your name. Your name is glorified before all humanity and all the earth. You watched over our rest, O Lord, and you have watched over our rising. Your truth is still standing and your mercies are still active every day. Lord, we thank you for our covering. We thank you for grace and peace in our hearts. Abide with us now as we hear your word today and reveal what we need to walk in your image and live peaceably with others. Lord, we love you and we praise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Our text today, our scripture, it's going to come in the Old Testament from Genesis chapter 8. Will be there in verses 6 through 11. So that's Genesis chapter 8, verses 6 through 11. And for the New Testament, we'll touch in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, and we'll be there in verses 12 through 14. Amen? It says here in Genesis 8, 6 through 11, so it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Then he sent out a raven which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. He also sent out from himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground, but the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot. And she returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark to himself. And he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a fresh plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And no one knew that the waters had receded from the earth. In the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke, it's recorded here in chapter 2, verse 11, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Amen. You may be seated. And on this second Sunday of the Advent season, in this complicated world that we live in, I'd like to preach from this subject. How do we get to peace? Amen. I know you said it's first Sunday, but of the Advent season, we started last week, so it's the second Sunday of the Advent season. And for that, we'll speak on the subject of peace. And from that, how do we get to it? How do we get to peace? We live in this very, very, very complicated world. And it's nothing new, but there seems to be conflicts between nations everywhere. The Middle East, Europe, Ukraine, China, North Korea, the Sudan, and others. We have conflicts even involving Canada to the north and Venezuela to the south. If that's not enough, we have conflicts between the Senate and the House, the Union and SEPTA, And even in our home, we might find a conflict between the light bill and the grocery bill. Conflict is everywhere. It's far from us and close by at the same time. It's coming in many forms. And today the question is, how do we get to peace? How does your soul get to peace in this kind of world? Listen, the key to the answer, if I simplified it, I'd tell you, look up. Amen. We need to look up and look for God. If we're going to find peace in this world, then we must look for him. God's not left us. He's not forsaken us. We look for him and he will show himself. He will show us a sign that his promise is still with us. That's the simplified answer. But let's look at the text. Let's look at what's going on in the scripture today. If we were to back up into Genesis chapter 6, we'll find out that God sees everything that's going on. Chapter 6, verse 11, he said, "The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." Listen, I'm not speaking about now. It sounds like now, but this was even back in Noah's day. And it says, so God looked upon the earth. He sees what's going on. And indeed, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. I'm not talking about today, but I could be. I'm talking about in Noah's time. He says to Noah, behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Look, tell somebody near you, we need an ark. With this type of conflict that's going on, we need an ark. And in Genesis chapter 6, God is looking at the evil of humankind. He's witnessing it throughout all the earth. It's in direct conflict with the purpose that God intended for all of us. And God's response is that there's a flood coming. There's a storm out on the ocean. It's headed this way. God says in verse 13, he speaks it in his word, behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And I know that may unsettle you. That may worry you somewhat, because if God saw the evil in the world back then he must see it now, the way that we've been talking about. And you might be wondering, like some do, is he ready to wipe out all the earth all over again? You see, there's some people that believe that. They believe we're in the end times. They believe that Armageddon's on the way, that it's now. But if you were to stop right there in Genesis chapter 6, if you just stopped at verse 13, maybe you'd come to that conclusion. Maybe I'd even agree with you. But if you continue in the text, you begin to realize that God has another plan. I'm just telling you, think about it. If his intention was to wipe us all out, then why would he even have this conversation with Noah? You see what I'm saying? Why would God even tell him to build an ark and fill it with all living things if there wasn't a plan for life to once fill the entire earth? We've got to move past verse 13. If we're going to get to peace, then we have to move beyond a place where God is looking to destroy all evil, and we have to look up to the plan that he has for our peace. Now, take that personal for a second. What I'm saying is, if we're going to get to peace, we have to go beyond all the stuff that we know we've done wrong before God, all the stuff that we deserve to die for, all the stuff that he deserves to destroy us for, we have to look beyond that and say, well, God, you must have another plan, or else you would not have taken the time to write it about it for me in the book. We see this plan begin to unveil itself in chapter 8, verse 6. We saw that it came to pass at the end of 40 days, Noah opens the window of the ark, which he made. First, he sends out the raven, but then he sends out the dove. The first time around, verse 9 tells us the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot. So she returns back to the place of safety, the place of the ark with Noah, and waited another 7 days. Sends the dove out again. Then the dove comes to him in the evening, and behold, a fresh plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. The dove returns again, but this time with a branch. And Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. And it's out of this text, it's out of this passage that we get this expression of extending an olive branch. I don't know if you've heard that before, but it's an expression of peace. The dove returning to the ark with an olive leaf was a sign of the end of the great flood and God extending peace to humankind. The ark was a place of refuge, covering, safety, but it was not meant for Noah and everyone else on board, the animals and his family, to live on the ark forever. But while God dealt with the conflict in the rest of the earth, he put them in a place of safety. Amen? The promise was not the ark. Amen? The promise was that which would come later. And when God extends the olive branch back to humanity, it's the sign that we are coming back to the earth to be fruitful and multiply in the plan that God intended for us from the beginning. So now we understand a little bit. How do we get to a place of peace? How do we get to peace? I believe if we're to take something maybe from this, from our own conflicts, we might find that this idea of extending an olive branch might be worthwhile in our own lives. It might be something we want to do with the conflicts we run into day to day. Listen, what I'm saying is that maybe this Advent season, maybe during these 18 days before we celebrate the birth of Jesus, maybe after we read one or two devotions, maybe then we can consider extending an olive branch to these conflicts that we have in our lives. What do you mean, preacher? Maybe we've been in conflict with some folks in our own family. It's been going on for some time, just like it was going on with God's family in the time of Noah. And maybe this is a good season to extend an olive branch. Maybe we're in conflict with one of our neighbors. We don't like the way they put their trash on the street. They're not even tying it up like they should. Maybe we don't like the people that are running in and out of their house all the time, all hours of the night. But maybe this is a good season to extend an olive branch. There might be that one coworker. I'm talking about the one that used up your last nerve last year. Things don't seem to be getting any better. But maybe this is the right time to extend an olive branch. To extend an olive branch means to extend a gesture of peace, friendship, something that you desire. You wish that it might end this conflict. It might end this argument. It's a sign that you're ready to forgive and begin a new relationship. And listen, it's also a sign that you're also ready, that you don't have to win the argument. You know, you're not, we might be stuck on that sometime, but now we're ready to forgive and begin anew. Here's four things that we might do if we're extending an olive branch. The first thing we've got to do is we got to get in touch. Amen. We need to be in communication. Right now, the news is filled with stories about the ambassadors of one nation visiting another. There's a delegation of representatives and officials sending documents and messages. And how many of you know a lot of times the delegation, the ambassadors, they have to go before the presidents or the leaders get involved, right? They have to go first. They kind of have to set the tone, set the table for the peace agreement. Getting in touch is the first pathway to peace. If there's no communication, then there's just bombs and weapons being fired, and we can't get to a place of peace until we're ready to talk. Then we can begin a pathway. When God was speaking to Noah regarding the ark, that was him telling us that there might be peace possible. He was starting to communicate as he told him how to build it, as he told him who to bring on board, how to do this thing. And listen, he didn't tell Noah to do this in secret or private. Everybody knew Noah was building the ark. They were busy laughing at him, right? Others saw the sign from God and they could have built arks themselves, but they ignored the communication. Somebody said, well, why didn't God tell them? Well, he was trying to reach them, but they didn't respond. They didn't engage in the talks. And eventually God's wrath came through the flood. But when it was time for peace again, God got in touch with Noah. This time he communicated through the dove. And so the first thing I want to tell you is that if you're moving towards peace, you've got to get in touch. The next thing that you might need to do is to apologize and repent. When we read further in the chapter, this chapter 8 at verse 20, it says this: then Noah built an altar to the Lord. This is after the dove had returned with the olive branch offering. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And so we find that after God had gotten in touch with Noah and confirmed that it was safe, Noah offers a sacrifice to the Lord. Amen. Noah did not assume that he was spared and in right standing with God. He said, I'm going to bring an offering. He said that I'm going to offer a sacrifice to God as a sign of repentance and apologies for wrongdoing. He was going to apologize for sins known and unknown. You need to add that to your prayer sometimes. God, I'm just asking for grace. I'm asking for forgiveness for things I know I did. But God, there were some things I probably didn't know I was offending you. Forgive me for those as well. Amen. Just as we're not always sure of the ways that we might offend God, we're not always aware of the ways that we might have offended others that we're in conflict with. We didn't know we hurt them that bad. The other thing, and I'll tell you, it goes along with this, apologizing and repenting, as we see in what it says. He's talking about presenting an offering. That's the other thing that we can do. And this means simply doing something nice. Amen. I thought it was interesting, and I'm going to slow down on this and see if y'all catch it. But I thought it was interesting that after saving every living thing on earth by bringing them onto the ark, right? Noah then presents a burnt offering from some of the animals and the birds on the ark back to God. That was just interesting. He saved them, but now they're coming back in the way of a sacrifice. Amen. And we find that to the Lord, it says in verse 21, the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Finally, something good was coming out of the earth. And the Lord said in his heart, I will never, you got to catch it, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing that I have done. Amen. You see what a little sacrifice, a little presenting of an offering might do. There might be something that you can do for someone that you're in conflict with that will move them towards peace. You're thinking that this is never going to happen. Peace, we just been like that for 20 years. I don't see a way around it. But something that you might do, and it doesn't mean that you're bringing bling jewelry or dozens of roses, right? You might only need a smile and a few nice words. But will you reach into your ark of safety? Will you go back to those things that you protected in the ark and give a present so that they will understand that your apology is sincere? Amen. We're getting there. We're making our way to peace. We're making some progress. Those are three things that we can do. And there's one more thing that we can do to get towards peace. And listen, it doesn't cost us much of anything. You see, the next thing that we can do to move towards peace is we can listen. Will we be open to hearing what others whom we've been in conflict with, will we be open to hearing what they have to say? Glory to God. I know that, listen, we all like Jeremiah 29 and 11. Listen, if you don't know what that verse is, go read it and you'll be like, yeah, that's in my fave five. But right after verse 11, Jeremiah 29 and 12 says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me. And God says, I will listen to you. You and God been in conflict, but he says, I will listen to you. Further in Jeremiah 33 and 3, it reads, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. This is God saying, I will listen to you. We've been in conflict, but I'll listen to you. So God knows that the evil of humanity is not fully eliminated from the earth. He knows that even though he's had the flood, that there's still some evil that's out there. He knows that even though you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, right, that there's still some evil that might hold you down, those things that you are trying to keep from him. But listen, he's still looking to listen to you. Amen. And so if we have a conflict with another brother or sister, are we willing to listen? Will we extend an olive branch by simply listening to what they have to say? And I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that. If when we think about our place with God, if we're going to make our way to peace with him, are we also willing to listen for God's response? Got to listen both ways. John 6:63, he's listening to us, but then he says these words. Jesus says these words. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Are we willing to listen to the response of God, the word of God, the words that Jesus spoke to us and over us? For they are life and they are the way of peace for us between God and humanity. So are we willing to listen? One more thing, as we extend an olive branch and try to make our way to peace. Are we ready for a fresh start? Are we ready to a new beginning to the relationship? After being pleased with the offering that Noah made at the altar, God extends an olive branch towards peace by promising never to respond with the flood as he did in the day of Noah. He said, and the Lord smelled the soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. Amen. Are we ready for a new beginning? God's showing us that he's ready because he gives this new covenant to Noah. And the covenant that he gives to Noah says that he will never again wipe out all of the earth, all of the evil on the earth by sending a flood as he did in the text. He speaks further about this in Genesis 9, 8 through 13. He said, I will establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. Amen. It came for us as well. And with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth, thus I will establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. Amen. It's a lot of text, but it's worthwhile to hear the covenant of the Lord, the promise that he has made towards us as he is declaring peace in this conflict that we've had. And he says in verse 12, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my what? Rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. I told you at the beginning, the simple way to this message is look up. God put in the sky the sign of the covenant that he made with Noah and with humankind. This is the sign of his peace treaty with us to never send that kind of flood again. I want you to see how things were shifting. Because first, the place of safety had to be on an ark that was made by man. But now, because the covenant, the promise that he put in the sky, in the rainbow, he has now made the whole earth to be an ark for us, to be a place of safety and refuge. Storms may come, seas may rise, but now we know that the flood will never overtake us. It will never be able to take us down. It will never remove us from the plan of God. Tell your neighbor to look up, for in the sky, tell him that's grace. Tell him to look one more time. Tell him that's mercy. I know it's Advent season. I know it's 18 days before Christmas. I know Noah was a long time before the days of Jesus Christ. But I can just imagine that from the time of Noah, from any time that there was previous conflict, from any time that there was war between nations and even war between neighbors. Any time that it seemed like there was unrest in the land. Any time that there was hunger on one side and billionaires eating and feasting on the other side. Any time that there were cures and treatments in one hospital, but in the other hospital, there was not enough health insurance. Any time that bosses were getting raises, but then the workers were getting increased taxes. Any time that our cell phone was plugged in, energized all the time so that our Facebook feed would come through, but our Bibles weren't getting any stream time, our Bibles weren't getting read. Any times that our doors were turning away our young people, but TikTok was welcoming them in with free access. Any time that these conflicts, these hypocrisies were warring against each other in the earth, I can imagine that God is simply telling us to look up. There is a rainbow. There is a sign of peace towards us. You see, his covenant is still there for us to see. And I know this, that as we were 18 days before the time that we celebrate Jesus' birth, I know that he also sent a sign for the shepherds that were watching, keeping watch in the field. You see, they looked up and they received a message from the Lord. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men." Glory to his name. Look up, for the promise of God, it has not gone away. God has once again extended an olive branch towards you and I, and that is through the birth of Jesus Christ. Born humbly in a manger, the name of Jesus represents the introduction of peace between God and men. God was getting in touch with us. Peace is on the way. Isaiah 9 said to us, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given." Don't worry about those troubles out there. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Praise God. Listen, the doors of the church are open. Peace has been made available to all who will receive. Will you receive the peace of God, which is Jesus the Christ? God is following that four-step method. He's getting in touch with you today. Will you respond? Will you pick up the call from God today? Will you recognize that the throne of grace, the opportunity to repent at the altar of the Lord, is today? Will you repent before him? Will you go to step number three? Will you present a praise offering to the Lord? Will you now lift up your voice with the sacrifice of praise? It won't cost you anything. Will you give thanks to the Lord, our Redeemer? Will you respond to the gift of salvation that he's offered to all? Will you believe today? Finally, are you ready for a new start? Glory to God. Are you ready for a new peace agreement that God has offered to you? How do we get to peace? Through the love of Jesus Christ. It begins when we accept him into our hearts and we believe him for our eternal salvation. Listen, the doors of the church are open. Will you come today? Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name.
Thanks again for listening. Don't forget to say hello to your pastor for us. And if you're looking for a church fellowship in Philadelphia, we'd love to see you this Sunday at 11 a.m. Open Door Baptist Church, 1632 North 26th Street, zip code 19121.
More information is online at opendoorbaptistphilly.com and Instagram at opendoorbaptistphilly. Until next week, stay encouraged and always remember, God loves you.